Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, October 18th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And by MailRoute.info. MailRoute is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it now at MailRoute.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day and see if it can take it. Kick it. Keep kicking.
Stress test that tech news.
Stay down, Ray Ozzie. Stay down. Actually, Ray Ozzie is stepping down.
Wait a minute. What's he doing here?
He might
Hello, Ray
down.
Ozzie.
he probably will.
What did Ray Ozzie do for Microsoft?
Well, exactly my thought.
What did he ever do
for Microsoft? He was the head of internet services, chief software architect, often thought of as the cloud man.
Okay.
Funnily, not because of cloud services, but he always made it rain in Reddit. he's one of the guys that filled in the gap when Bill Gates stepped back. So today they announced, in this kind of weird email that All Things D reprinted from Steve Ballmer, how great the accomplishments in cloud things are going at Microsoft. And by the way, Ray Ozzie's leaving now because things are so great.
We don't need him anymore.
Ray Ozzie's done everything right, and
mission
now
accomplished.
He can just go hang out on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, good work, Ray.
Thanks for everything you've done.
Yeah, it's obviously, speculation is going to run wild now. Is this because of some internal shakeup? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about cleaning upstairs at Microsoft. There's been a lot of talk about maybe Ballmer should go. Is this sort of some defensive measure from Ballmer? We don't know. There's all kinds of corporate politics going on. So I'm sure you'll see on the blogs all of those theories put forward. But the upshot of this is, Microsoft loses one of their top brains with a lot of experience. He's not leaving right away. He's going to stay on through a transition period and then wander off into the sunset or something, I guess.
With his head in his clouds.
Yeah, head in the clouds. Exactly.
Well, so it sounds like, I mean, he's leaving on his own accord.
It doesn't sound like he's getting fired.
There was no indication that it was because the cookies over in Redmond aren't as good, you know.
Right. Or that he just can't face Google in the cloud, and he's backing down.
Yeah.
No indication of either one of those.
Neither have been confirmed.
Also, all over the news this morning, a Facebook privacy breach uncovered by the Wall Street Journal.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
And appalled.
This is pretty similar to the last Facebook breach in that some kind of referrer is passing along the unique Facebook ID number. The Facebook ID number can be associated with your account, and then whatever your account has public can then be discovered by that Facebook ID number.
But now, isn't the referrer in this case a browser-based referrer because it's the URL of the last place that you were on Facebook, and on Facebook, your Facebook ID is in the URL?
Yeah, and the APIs of some apps were passing along this information
where you were previously.
Yeah, exactly. So Facebook has come out and said, look, everybody's exaggerating the implications of sharing UID. Knowledge of a UID does not enable anyone to access private user information without explicit user consent. Nevertheless, we don't want people passing these things along, so we've suspended apps until they fix it.
Some pretty big apps, too.
Yeah, Farmville.
Like Farmville, yes. Who, you know, what is it, like 20 million people?
59.
That's
like the quintessential Facebook app right there.
Yeah.
You figure you don't have to have be a Farmville player for this to affect you. If you just know someone, if you know someone who plays Farmville, you could be affected by this security breach.
I also feel like, though, that this is the sort of thing where, okay, so 59 million people use Farmville. How many people understand how refers work or user ID?
What a
on
user
Facebook?
ID is.
It's,
yeah,
a great, exactly. It's a great big sample of people to be like, ah, privacy. Right. This is so bad without really understanding what's going on here.
This is more than just the referers, though. I mean, the referers has been something from before that Wall Street Journal pointed out. This is talking about applications actually being able to harvest who your friends are.
Right, because if your friends are made public,
yes,
then that UID can be associated to all the other UIDs of your friends, correct?
But this is also not some nefarious scheme by Farmville. I mean, Facebook said, hey, in most cases, nobody's doing this on purpose. This is just some sort of loophole.
Well, I don't know. A couple applications got taken off the App Store, or if whatever they're calling it.
They got taken down, yeah.
Taken down.
Well, and that's because they were doing this, and they're like, look, until you fix it, we're taking you down. And I don't think these companies, although there's lots of scuttlebutt about what Zynga gets up to behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and how they sort of have a culture of let's try to get away with as much as possible. So mm-hmm. maybe they're doing this on purpose. But it sounds like the kind of thing that a company could accidentally be harvesting and passing along just because they wrote an algorithm in a certain way and they wouldn't know they were actually getting it. One exception to that, Wall Street Journal points out that Rapleaf was a company that was receiving a lot of this information and was collating it with user IDs that they had found from setting cookies.
What, to market a certain kind of food to you if you've mentioned that you
it's
like, you know what I mean?
Thing. It's like,
what, I mean.
I don't like the idea of.
Money's being drained from our bank accounts.
That wasn't an opt-in thing, though. If somebody, if this company is marketing sardines to you because of one of your friends on Facebook mentioned something and they got that data and figured it out to you, that's not something you opted into.
But I might want to know if sardines were on sale.
Well, in this case, who cares if they violated your trust?
The thing is, in this case, it's all information that you've made public.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you made it public, but you didn't authorize it to be passed along by the application. So it's a fine line. And I am of the opinion that what people want in privacy situations is courteousness. They actually don't care too much about the actual information that's being shared here, like you're saying, Sarah. They just want to be asked. They just want to know where it's going. They want to have some sense of control over it.
This is like a great example of how confusing privacy has just gotten for everybody. I mean, at this point, there are a lot of people using Facebook who have no idea what kind of privacy settings they're sharing with anybody. It's just complicated.
Yeah, it's impossible to offer everyone the conveniences and the cool things that all of this stuff can do when it's working together without having to kind of give away a little bit of that privacy,
right,
or being okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't please everybody. Or anybody in this case.
Can't please everybody some of the time.
Yeah.
But you mentioned spearfishing just now.
Yeah.
There are some much worse problems with Facebook than this little UID.
You had mentioned, you know, as long as you're courteous, and now I'm thinking, okay, I'll just be more courteous in my spearfishing links.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, I just think that's how we should do it.
Well, that's a much bigger deal than some UID getting passed along.
Yeah.
Is the kind of things that take advantage of social engineering to get you to do things, right?
Exactly. Yeah, fun stuff.
You're going to be doing some of that stuff, right? Or showing how it works, not doing it.
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you when we get to the news views, because there's some stuff that's very relevant with what we're doing at Hack 5 recently. But anyway, you want to talk about courteousness. Isn't News Corp being really courteous to the internet?
Yes. News Corp, over the weekend, shut off Hulu access to Cablevision customers, well, for Fox shows anyway, and to Fox.com, and then turned it back on.
So let me get this straight. Cablevision subscribers could still go to Hulu. They just couldn't watch Fox shows.
Right, exactly. If they tried to pull up a Fox show, it said, we noticed that you are attempting to access Fox content on Hulu. Unfortunately, this content is currently unavailable to Cablevision customers. We look forward to bringing it back. This all goes back to a fight Fox is having over the carriage rights for three of Fox's local channels.
Oh, old media and all of your crazy license fees.
Now, one of the reasons they brought it back is they realized that not every Cablevision internet customer is a Cablevision television customer.
Oh.
And they couldn't figure
exactly
out how to easily only block the Cablevision television customers. But the upshot of all this is, you want an example of a possible net neutrality violation? Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is a company saying, we're going to deliver video to everybody but you, because we don't like you. Now, in this case, it's not a profit motive. It's a leverage motive. And yeah, they fixed it right away. They backed off and said, "Oh, wait a minute, this isn't good. This isn't worth it."
Is that really a net neutrality violation? I mean, sure, it's in the news and it's big because it's Hulu. But say, for instance, you ran a service where you just didn't want to accept any IPs from China because I don't know, maybe you've had some problems with DDoS or botnets or whatever have you. Would that be a net neutrality violation? Because you're just like, forget the entire, you know, continent of China. I did that on purpose.
Well, that's the problem with net neutrality, right? Is that there are times when you don't want the net to be neutral because it's a good thing, because mm-hmm. it stops spam or it allows for quality of service or this or
well,
that.
Well, this doesn't sound like a quality of service thing at all. It sounds like a bickering license issue.
But what a lot of people object to with net neutrality is the idea that I could say, well, I'm only going to deliver my Fox videos to internet service providers that pay me extra. Mm-hmm. Or I'm only going to deliver those Fox videos if Fox pays me extra on the other end.
We've seen something like that in the past, like with the Olympics, where you could only watch it if you were a subscriber to certain cable companies. And doesn't ESPN have something like that as well?
That's an authorization issue versus this is them saying, like, the entire Cablevision internet.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why they backed off so fast, is they realized, well, wait a minute. We're not doing what the Olympics did and saying, hey, have you paid for this? Because mm-hmm. if you've paid for that, then we'll let you watch this. Yeah, they're actually blocking service to an entire class of customers.
Right. That potentially impacts other smaller internet service providers that uses Cablevision as their backbone. So,
yeah.
Not fair.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to watch. We should thank our sponsor, Ford, makers of Ford Activated Sync. They are helping to bring Tech News Today to you today. A problem a lot of folks have when you're driving these days is there's a lot of things to do while you're driving. You make phone calls, or you want to make phone calls. You want to answer texts. There's that important text. You don't like the music that's playing and you want to skip. And it's all dangerous. It's all distracting in the cockpit. So Ford Sync allows you true hands-free calling. You just talk. You just tell it what you want. It's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. I've been out riding with Leo in this. He's able to switch from podcasts to an audiobook to some music. He's able to send texts, have texts read to him. If we had gotten into trouble, which we didn't, you got 911 assist. If you're ever in an accident, your airbag deploys. Sync automatically calls 911 for you. If you'd like to learn more about Sync, just go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Sync is standard in some Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury models and optional in others. When you get in a car with Sync, your mobile phone, most Bluetooth-enabled phones, connect automatically. And you can plug in most standard non-Bluetooth media players like iPods or Zunes. So check it out. SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Verizon, I don't know. Is this a price war going on?
I sure hope so. We could definitely use some competition, some new pricing in the mobile data area.
Chris Ziegler at Engadget says they've been tipped off that Verizon is expected to announce new plans for data on October 28th. One of them solves a mystery I've been considering, which is the iPad MiFi data was cheaper
than what you're paying monthly for your MiFi.
Yeah. Well, apparently, according to this, MiFi is going to have plans for all MiFis that are the same price as the MiFi that gets bundled with the iPad.
Okay. So there's no incentive to get the iPad MiFi.
Yeah. So that mystery is solved. They've also got new plans for cell phones, smartphone owners. You can get $15 for 150 megabytes a month with a 10 cent per megabyte overage, or $30 for unlimited access. Now, there's where the price war comes in.
There you go.
AT&T got rid of their unlimited access.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even on feature phones, they've gone ahead and killed the $9.99 for 25 megabytes feature entirely. Because what good was that? And replaced it with a $15 for 150 meg. So, yeah, you know, your price per megabyte's getting a little bit better there.
So a rooted Android phone that can broadcast as a hotspot gives you $30 a month unlimited data over 3G. They haven't announced any. They're not going to announce any 4G plans yet.
That seems like a really good deal.
That seems like a great deal.
Yeah.
That's a screaming deal. Yeah. Now, this is what competition looks like. When you have somebody like AT&T come out saying, hey, we're gonna start limiting our data, Verizon goes, okay, that gives us permission to limit it, but let's do it a little better so that we actually can have an advantage on this. So they haven't got rid of their unlimited plan. Are you doing a Wi-Fi hotspot there?
Yeah, I just created a Wi-Fi hotspot. So if anybody needs internet access, it's just called T-Mobile.
There you go.
Thanks, Darren.
You're welcome.
I don't trust your internet access hotspot when it's called T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just call it
Free Public Wi-Fi.
Free Public Wi-Fi. There we go.
Which, by the way, I want to acknowledge all the people who wrote in and pointed out that Security Now had covered that Free Public Wi-Fi explanation like 2 years ago.
It's been beaten to death.
Well, I hadn't watched that episode, apparently.
There were a lot of folks in the audience who hadn't either, so we were happy to send it along. Sprint is turning on 4G in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. They've announced dates. New York will be the first. November 1st, they get their 4G service, their WiMAX service. Los Angeles follows a month later on December 1st. San Francisco launches in late December. And then there's a bunch of other activations that are supposed to happen by the end of the year that don't have dates yet. They're just still end of 2010. Well, San Francisco's late December, and they've got a date-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the rest of these are New Year's Eve. Miami, Tampa, Denver, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Washington, D.C.
San Francisco has a date with 4G. Sign me up.
It's going to be awesome.
New Year's Eve. I want to be a third wheel there.
San Francisco is going to kiss WiMAX on New Year's Eve.
Well, what about LTE?
Sometimes it's good to be in the Bay Area because San Francisco, I mean, if you're going by population, it's not even close to being the third largest city in the U.S., but it's one of those cities that gets these sorts of things because then there'll be a lot of people.
It's actually pretty funny when you look at the cities that do have WiMAX right now.
Modesto.
Merced, California. Central Washington, D.C. Central Washington, D.C. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Abilene, Texas. Salt Lake City, Utah.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Corpus Christi.
You know.
Oh, yay, Richmond, Virginia.
Little respect to Yakima, Washington.
Yeah. Reason to go back there now.
Mad respect, Yakima.
Mad respect. Honolulu and Maui, actually. It's pretty nice. I've used the WiMAX in Honolulu, in Maui, I should say. It's pretty good.
So, Evo folks, good times.
Yep, good time. Good time to get an Evo if you're in one of these locations. Interesting story about HyperMac. They're going to have to halt selling their battery because they didn't license MagSafe. Now, here's what HyperMac does. They're an external battery, a big old battery, that can power both an iPhone or an iPad and a laptop because they have connectors for both. Apple came in and said, you're violating our patent. Yeah. We have a patent on that MagSafe.
That's proprietary.
And you didn't ask us if you could use it.
And there's no like workaround. It's not like they can use like an alternate plug that doesn't have a magnet in it. Can they?
No, there's no other way to hook up to this unless you use this MagSafe thing. Apple's got them over a barrel.
And now we see why, you know, Apple does this as opposed to everybody else with a little regular DC barrel connector.
Well, the best part about this, though, is that HyperMac's going, listen, yeah, we can't fight Apple. However, you can still buy one until November 2nd.
They all must go.
Yeah.
It's going out of business sale.
It's a going out of business sale. So, I mean, they're giving us plenty of time. If you haven't gotten a HyperMac battery yet, you still can.
Well, now they could make HyperMac batteries that just had a DC plug-in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How would they iPad?
You would just use your...
Can you use this existing cable? Because I thought this was hardwired into the little brick.
Apparently, they're not in patent violation for the iPad and iPhone because what they're doing is purchasing the cables.
Right. And
from
it's,
Apple.
It's just USB. So, you know, for them to say that, now it powers the iPad.
It'd be the 30-pin connector that they'd be violating.
They didn't manufacture
the cable.
Exactly.
You could potentially use like a Droid cable or mini USB to power anything.
Has anyone here used a HyperMac battery?
Nope.
I mean, how quickly does it charge anything?
I've never actually seen
one in the wild.
It charged me up. It topped me up fine. They're pretty snazzy little batteries. They've got a lot of punch in them.
They look good. I love the idea of powering multiple things at once. I might be a pre-November 2nd buyer of the HyperMac battery.
Get it while you can.
I can think of a lot of situations where I would have liked one. Our trip to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Finally, Twitter can apparently predict the stock market.
What?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Who do I have to follow for that?
TechnologyReview.com reporting that an analysis of almost 10 million tweets from 2008 shows that Twitter can be used to predict stock market movement 2 to 6 days in advance. Essentially, they did a study of many different ways of looking at the mood state of Twitter posts. One algorithm called the Google Profile of Mood States, or GPOMS, records the level of six states: happiness, kindness, alertness, sureness, vitality, and calmness. Calmness turned out to be the one indicator that tracked with the Dow Jones Industrial Average with an accuracy of 87.6%.
Meaning the more people who are calm on Twitter, the better the Dow Jones numbers might be.
I think that's what they found,
but
yeah.
But what's confusing to me is how does one consider a tweet calm? Because what if I say something like, best day ever, got so many of my errands done, just chilling, exclamation point. Does that seem calm, even if I am feeling really calm and cool and collected?
That's a good question. I'd want to know how the Google profile of mood states works.
And is it mood as it relates to a particular thing or just general mood?
I've heard of these kind of analyses before where they look at sort of the word choice, the syntax.
Like, are they referring to Apple when they're tweeting something out that 6 days later actually is reflected in Apple's?
No, what they're saying
stock.
Is...
Well, they're just looking at the Dow as a whole.
It's worldwide, too, not just the United States. And as the calmness level goes up, or I guess gets more calm, the Dow Jones goes up. And as it goes down, everybody gets crazy.
We're getting calmer!
I don't know how that part works. Well, can I get this in ring form that changes color or something?
It's not predicting individual stocks.
Right.
Or more importantly...
The internet mood ring?
Yes. More importantly, would this work on LiveJournal?
Oh, wow. No.
No?
No, it might predict something entirely different, but it wouldn't work.
That wouldn't be good.
Interesting.
All right, let's thank our other sponsor today, MailRoute.info. You may have heard us talking about this on Twit. MailRoute.info is run by Todd Johnson, friend of Leo. He is the guy who wrote Front Bridge for Microsoft, moved on to try to solve spam. That's not a small task, but he thinks he's got it fairly well cracked. I've signed up for it myself, and I actually have a usable email address that was riddled with spam before. What he does is he takes all of the email coming to you, and if let put it this way, you have to be operating several email addresses. You have to know what an MX record is if this is going to work for you. But if you do, what it does is it takes all the email, looks through it, applies a filter, and only sends you the email that actually is real, that's not spam. Leo was sent over 3.7 million messages last year. 3.6 million were spam. 96% were blocked, and he got no false positives.
Oh, that's impressive.
They also have 99.999% uptime. There's no long-term contract. It's month-to-month. For listeners of Twit, they actually offer a small business and family plan. List price is $33 per year, but if you go to mailroute.info, since you listen to Twit, you get a discounted price of $29.70. That's just under $2.50 a month, so check them out. MailRoute.info. Time for the news fuse. Nintendo's Wii has joined the Sony PS3 on the train the Xbox has been riding for years regarding Netflix movies. It's the no-disc train. I've tortured that metaphor far enough. You no longer need to pop a disc into the Wii or the PS3 if you want to stream Netflix movies. I'd say there's an app for that, but Apple owns the trademark, so I'll just say there's an application you can install to do that now.
Speaking of Apple, Apple announced their earnings for their latest quarter, which is mostly positive. Wow. Unique. Apple never does that. iPad sold more units than Macs. That's an interesting stat, although they still sold fewer than analysts expected. So depending on which article you read, it's either a broken record or not really all that great.
So where's news. The calmness?
I don't know. My calm is still trying to figure itself out. Yeah. I'm feeling actually pretty calm about this.
All right.
But maybe I
bye.
If I hung up with an analyst. Sell!
Now, Google has oddly said that they would be a good citizen and allow Hulu to block the Chrome browser on Google TV. Not sure if that makes them a good citizen, but some other citizens have figured out that if you go to the advanced settings of Chrome on Google TV, you can change the browser's ID from generic to generic, and then like magic, no more blocked Hulu.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a civic pride badge for that.
No, though. Probably not.
No, not from Google anyway. A Swedish professor has his laptop stolen recently by one of the most considerate thieves we've ever heard of. The robber stole the laptop, but left the credit cards and the money, and then a week later sent a USB stick to the professor in the mail, which contained all the data from the laptop in a nice, tidy backup.
Aww.
Oh, if only all laptop thieves could be that nice.
If only all laptop thieves were Swedes.
That's actually what the professor said. If only all thieves could be this great. And it's like, wouldn't it be greater if he didn't steal your laptop?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if they're like muggers in Toronto where they're like, give me all your cash. You're like, all I got's a 50. Oh, I can break that. I just want to make sure you have enough to get bus fare home.
Not trying to ruin your day, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just want some of the money.
We got a whole change
for that. Yeah. Here's a loony.
Well, in other news, cats and dogs are being friendly on Flying Pigs today.
What?
What I mean by that is a second Duke Nukem game has been announced.
No.
This one, Duke 3D, is a project by fan Frederick Fresh Schreiber, created on the Unreal Engine 3. And Gearbox, who are the owners of Duke Nukem, support the project and have granted Schreiber a non-commercial license to release the game, which will never, ever be released. Unless it is.
And then I will
until
be sad.
It is, yeah.
And then our Vaporware Awards will be so sad. Wolf!
What?
I mean, Fudge! I mean, IP version 4 addresses are running out.
Oh, that old thing.
Yeah, the Number Resource Organization reported that 95% of all IP version 4-based internet addresses have already been assigned. So basically what that means is we all need to move to IP version 6. See, IP version 4 is 32-bit number, so there's about 4 billion addresses. And IP version 6 is 128-bit number, so math, carry the 2. There's enough IP address version 6s for there to be one on every 2 square inches of Earth.
Just switch already, people, so we stop having to hear
people.
We'll
never run out
of
them.
And also, IP version 6 can used to traverse IP version 4 firewalls.
We have to move to IPv8. IPv6 is running out. We're going to hear that in like 10 years.
Check out Hack 5 this week. We're talking about how IP6, you can use it to traverse firewalls and do all sorts of nefarious fun stuff.
Good times.
Yeah.
Now when you pull the shades to play video games, you may be powering the PC that is playing the video game. The MIT presented early results of research projects funded by Italian oil company Eni, including paper-thin solar cells, which could be used as window covering. I don't know if the window treatments will be that popular with homeowners, but they'd work. Paper cells could also make roof installation easier, and the presentation also included a paper-based material to collect oil spilled in water. You know, like they do in oceans and stuff.
Oh, that never happens.
Never. We don't.
Why would they need something like that? Useless tech. Yahoo. Yahoo's not really afraid of being second.
We're number two.
When it comes to the internet. The Wall Street Journal reports that Yahoo was planning on introducing Y Connect.
What a great name.
That's just the letter Y Connect, not Y Connect.
Where is it?
Although I can see where you could get confused. It's a way of connecting to and sharing data between sites you visit with your Yahoo login and profile information. Does this sound familiar to anybody?
No.
Yeah, pretty groundbreaking stuff. Expect them to push a movie about their founding soon called The Internet Directory.
How Jerry Yang Got Screwed. We need a movie about
us.
He's
a real jerk, too.
Nobody ever did Yahoo movies because their founders
were so
nice.
All he wanted was a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And he got one, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Why connect? Really? Why connect is what you're...
I mean, you're just...
think about it.
There's no focus group here. Nobody said...
Call it Yahoo Connect.
Is there an exclamation point? Is it one of those Yahoo services where it's like, why exclamation point? Because we could go all like programmer style and be
connect.
Like, why bang connect?
Why bang connect?
Why bang connect?
And either way, it's not working for me.
Why bang?
Why bang connect?
She bang connect. All right, let's finish up with the UN banning, taking away our human right to blot out the sun.
How did we do that?
NASA, as well as many other private industries, have been looking into possible ways to slow climate change through geoengineering. And one of those ways would be to put up a huge solar shade in orbit that would actually prevent the sun from heating the surface of the Earth.
Which would slow down global warming.
Right. There's a lot of controversy, about the idea of a country putting up a solar shade that then blocks the sun of another country, because it's not going to hit just one country, right? It's got to block a big portion of the Earth.
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. Right on borderlines.
Yeah, it'll be fun when license fees get involved over with here. This, right?
We have a nice Colorado-shaped solar shade that just blocks the sun.
You didn't pay your shade tax, and all of a sudden, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of the issues, potential issues that were brought up, though, are good ones. I mean, it's like, if you're going to slow down global warming, are you just going to keep people from having to adapt to new, cleaner coal, for example? It's like, well, if global warming slows down, then we don't really have to stop using all this oil.
Are you trying to say that humans would, like, resist change?
Never.
That's unfathomable.
Exactly.
The United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity made the decision, or is considering the decision. The convention may consider banning or limiting research into space sunshades don't take away my right.
Space shades. It's
a weird thing, though. It's like, well, don't tell me I can't put a shade in space, but I think it is the UN's province to say, you can't shade South America, U.S. Like, that's not fair.
Ooh, that's an interesting new weapon, you know?
Comply with us or we will shade your country.
Also, once the shade goes up and it gets really cold, how easy is it to just take that shade down?
Well, there's probably like a lot of work. You twist the one on the left, you twist it.
They're Roman blinds.
Opens.
I'm freezing. Yeah. Take that shade down immediately. This is the worst summer ever.
All right, let's move on to the calendar.
We've got sad news. Benoit Mandelbrot has died.
Aw, yes. He passed away over the weekend from cancer. He, if you didn't know, is one of the founders of Fractals. He discovered the Mandelbrot set and then
Fractal
named it after
geometry.
Himself.
Big dude.
We're playing a little Jonathan Colton Mandelbrot set in the background.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to run Dazzle.exe in DOSBox today.
You should. Yeah.
I think
in his
you should.
Honor. Yeah.
In his honor. He would have liked that.
I've got Fractal Magic still on a 3.5-inch disc that I will try to find.
You were loved and you will be missed. we've got a birthday. Nintendo's NES turns 25 today. However, Google hasn't honored them at all. No love for the NES.
No.
On the Google homepage. It seems like a perfect time.
Yeah.
25. That's a big anniversary.
Well, we're honoring
or birthday.
You, Nintendo.
We sure are. TNT doesn't forget. TNT will never forget. NES. Happy 25th. Microsoft Office event is tomorrow, Tuesday, the 19th. What are you doing?
I was trying to make an
Fractal
N.
Geometry?
I was trying to make an N with my finger, like little, we'll never forget.
Ooh, yeah, like
it'd
a YMCA.
Like, yeah, like, yeah.
NES.
Something like that.
Lowercase n. There you go. That's easier.
So the Office event tomorrow, that's a Microsoft Office event. What are we expecting? Office for Mac?
We can now make spreadsheets on our computers.
Whee! On our Macs.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that now. Thank goodness. I'm not looking at a spreadsheet right now on my Mac. Apple also making an announcement. It's a big week for announcements. They've got an announcement starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time, Wednesday. That's October 20th. And we will be covering it live on Twit.
We're expecting OS 10 and Macs, possibly a MacBook Air.
Yes. Yes. OS 10.
Yeah, OS 10. Like OS 10 Lion. There's a lion on the postcard. It's going to be a new OS 10.
It's going to be a tabby.
The BlackBerry Style has an official launch date. It's Halloween. That's October 31st.
Whoa.
And it's going to launch for $99.
Scary price.
Ah!
Boo. Boo. I mean, boo.
Boo.
Sorry.
Depends.
It depends
you like
where
it?
You stand on the BlackBerry
then your
thing.
Boo
yeah.
can go one or
so cheap
one
you can
ways.
Hand them out to kids.
Kinect launch titles have been revealed, and Microsoft apparently is really banking on us liking fitness and dancing themed games.
Makes sense with the Kinect, you know, it's full motion.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, plus, you know, with all the dancing with the stars and the dance crews and all of those shows, I mean, they're very popular. One of the fitness games, I love the description of Zumba Fitness. It's described as a one-of-a-kind dance fitness workout set to sexy, high-energy Latin and international music.
Ooh. A little samba, a little merengue.
So you can have your Latin or your international music.
And they'll be
following one side
that.
Latin, on the other side, international. So, yeah, that's a good
just
thing.
Everything else.
I'm assuming they'll follow that with one that has country and Western.
one could hope.
I'm holding out for international swing.
Yeah, most of these titles will launch November 4th. There's a few that launch later in November, though, but we'll have the link in the show notes in our wiki at twit.tv/TNT.
You can dance off that tryptophan.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
Leave your cares behind.
Yeah.
On to the voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number to call, or you can record a video and upload it to YouTube and send us the link, like our caller, I guess you could call him that, did today. Hey, those are some...
Hey, Tom, it's Steve nice Massey down south colors. Of Newark, Arkansas. Heard on the podcast last week how much you like nuclear power plants because of their nice curvy towers. Ran across these and thought you'd like to see them. Of course, you look over there on the left and you see that big old smokestack. Yeah, it's a coal-fired plant. Sorry, man. Love the show, though. Thanks.
Blah, blot on those curvy towers, that big smokestack.
You're really into those?
No, I was just making a joke about how nuclear power plants just look so nice. They look so futuristic.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, really there you pretty. Go. You never can tell. Mm. On to the emails, TNT at twit.tv. Kevin Moon wrote in and said, with all this talk of Google TV, Roku, Boxy, and Apple TV, I feel like everyone has forgotten about the TiVo. Now that it has great network throughput, Netflix, Amazon VOD, Pandora, strong dual over-the-air tuners, and many different ways to connect to your home PC or Mac, this is the DVR box that everyone seems to want. I still have an Apple TV, but the living room is owned by TiVo. You cannot beat it for the functionality and services available. It was a little buggy out of the gate, but now that it has had some updates, it works great. The search feature works across all the services available, so you don't buy something that is available for free on Netflix or over the air. You know, when he needs to work for TiVo, because when he describes it like that, it sort of, the only thing it doesn't have is Hulu.
You know, Kevin's not alone. TiVo is it's kind of amazing how well TiVo has served its customers over the years, because true TiVo lovers love TiVo. Yeah. Yeah. They do not want to switch from TiVo.
I didn't want to. DirecTV kind of had to force me to by giving me free equipment to be like, please move to DirecTV DVR.
Yep. I didn't want to, but I eventually had to because it never came back to DirecTV.
Yeah. It still hasn't.
And actually, I got to say, I'm okay with it. Like, now that I have the
DirecTV,
they
have improved it,
HD DVR, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's very TiVo-esque.
Totally.
Next email from James in London. Hi, Tom and gang. While listening to Friday's episode and the story about the white iPhone, I was reminded of going to see Stephen Fry at the Royal Albert Hall in September, where he proudly displayed his white iPhone on stage. I think his exact words were, "The only one in Europe." Just thought you'd like to know that they are out there in the wild, just very, very rare. Stephen Fry, how'd you get one of those?
Yeah, just because he's like super popular on Twitter.
Just because he's an uber geek.
Just because he like...
darling, Brit.
Just because he's really nice and friendly.
Seems cool, smart.
Yeah.
Possibly he ended up in a bar where somebody else was.
I'm sure he stole that thing.
Totally. That'd be like him.
Thief. Liar.
Got another email here from Anuj from India. He says, love the show. Hey, TNT. Got a pleasant surprise from Google today. I logged into my Google profile and I saw ribbons falling down. Wonder why? I checked into my profile and found out it's actually my birthday. Here's a screenshot. Well, happy birthday. And
actually,
go,
happy birthday. Look at them ribbons.
Not those full motion, but there they are.
There's a little birthday message up here.
I think I remember that around the holidays on Yahoo back in like the late 90s with the snowflakes falling.
I don't want to be a naysayer, but I mean,
for your
ribbons aren't
though?
Even going to fall.
This is personal.
No, this was for Jesus' birthday.
Maybe
so
they did.
Only Jesus would get it if he was logged into Yahoo. This it works for everybody, even a new.
Do you think Jesus uses Y-Connect?
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So this is a new thing. Google has like personalized
it's
stuff
dumb,
for
though.
You. Really? You don't like
you
it?
Know, yeah, I mean, you saw the ribbon. It was
maybe
like
it looks,
just like
maybe it looks better in
like
when it's moving.
In full motion,
you know,
it probably looks
when it's actually awesome. Falling. You
maybe.
Feel like you're having your own little personal ticker tape parade.
I don't know.
And then everybody needs their own
I'm
personal
not
ticker
buying
tape
it.
Parade. Let's admit
your own personal.
This all just seems very automated. I don't think anybody at Google cares that it was my birthday.
Also, a few people in the chat room are speculating that Stephen Fry may have gone to one of those sites that can spray paint your iPhone white.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah.
Well, if he was on stage, yeah, and it was kind of, ooh, the lights.
Yeah,
I got
the
first white iPhone ever.
Yeah.
That'd
be like him too.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah, I think so.
Than Stephen Fry out of everybody. Not that he doesn't deserve a white iPhone.
I don't know. Maybe Steve Jobs is a big Stephen Fry fan. He's like, I loved Blackadder. Here, white iPhone for you.
But do the whites match?
Or do you get a white bumper to go with? I mean, that's what we really want to know.
Oh, by the way,
I've got
to send
a white
bumper
and it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns gray really quickly.
All right, folks. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Darren Kitchen, of course, Hack 5 host.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for sending well wishes in the last week since the motorcycle accident. I'm okay, and thank you, everybody, that wrote in. Also want to let you know, if you want to find out about DNS brute forcing, I did a nearly hour-long episode on lots of prescription pain medications. So go and check that out over HAK5.org. Find out about zone transfers and brute forcing. It's good stuff.
Brute forcing. That's what the kids are calling it these days. All right. Twit.tv/TNT is our website. You can call us 260-TNT-SHOW or give us an email. The email address is TNT. Then use the @ and then TWIT.TV. You just place that in your mail client and
it's
press
magic.
Send. You should probably write something, too. We'll talk to you next week. next time. Tomorrow. When do I work? Who am I?
No, really, who are you?
I have no idea.
I'm looking up the MX record now.
Get this guy out of here.
That was fun. Next week? Yeah. I only want to do this show once a week now. I'm done.